Good morning. Please, if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Revelation 2, 1 to 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the written word. And we pray as we look into it now that the Holy Spirit himself will be here to challenge us and to help us understand your word, to help us hear clearly from you, and to put into action the things that you teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, during my long career in the oil and gas industry, I had the privilege of working for the Italian company Eni, or ENI, in the city of Atyrau in Kazakhstan. As part of the benefits of working as an expatriate, we had this privilege of going for what was called an R&R, rest and recuperation. I love that. And they gave us the freedom to have the R&R within Kazakhstan or outside Kazakhstan, in particular in the country of Turkey. So Jane and I seized the opportunity to visit Turkey quite a number of times. We went to Istanbul, we went to Antalya, and we went to the locations of the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. And on one of those occasions, we actually visited Ephesus. We walked the streets of Ephesus, just like Paul did. And we could see the ruins of one of the major streets. We saw the ruins of a library. And also, we saw the ruins of the theater mentioned in Acts 19:29. Ephesus is a real place. It's not theoretical, it's a real place. Now, Paul first came to Ephesus towards the end of the second missionary journey. But after a very short stay in Ephesus, he decided to leave hurriedly to go to a feast in Jerusalem. And he left a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, to continue the work there. Paul returned as promised on his third missionary journey, and he spent about 3 years there. And it's interesting that Paul spent 2 years teaching every day in the school of Tyrannus. You see this in Acts 19:9. He spent a lot of time preaching and teaching, and as it were, discipling people as well. Others who worked in the church in Ephesus included Apollos and Timothy. And furthermore, some people claim that it was in Ephesus that Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos on the orders of the Roman Emperor Domitian. During the time of the Roman Empire, the city of Ephesus was a commercial, political, and religious center for Western Asia Minor. It was also known for the worship of Diana, also called Artemis by the Greeks, which was the goddess of fertility. The great temple of Artemis, which was completed in 323 BC, was regarded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The letters to the seven churches were actually written or sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that they contain messages for you and I as individuals, and also for this church as a body. Now, based on this letter to the church of Ephesus, this message is titled, "Is Your Love Growing Cold?" Your love. Is your love growing cold? And I would like to focus on 3 points. The first one is commendations from Jesus Christ. The second one is complaint from Jesus Christ. And the third one is counsel from Jesus Christ. In order to help us properly understand the passage that we read, I need to briefly explain 2 words. Stars and lampstands. According to Revelation 1:20, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. Some biblical experts have concluded that the same word translated as angels could be translated as messengers or leaders. So the letters were passed through the leaders of each church. Furthermore, the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. So it's important to bear that in mind when we look at this particular passage. But I would like to make a very important point before we go on. I really agonized before bringing this message. I had something like 7 different topics that I wrote down. And for 2 weeks, I was asking the Lord which one to choose. When we met on Tuesday, I was still praying for God to help me pick one. On Wednesday, it was interesting that Pastor Ian prayed for me that God will help me find something to speak on. And indeed, this was the one I settled for. But it's important to know that I am not saying that Chapel House Christian Fellowship has lost her first love for Jesus. I am not saying that, because I don't know that. However, I believe that if we are quite open, the Holy Spirit has something to say to you and I about the status of our love for Jesus today. And so I'm praying and hoping that because this is something God asked me to speak on, that he will have a message for you. And I know he has a message for me, because I've preached this to myself. So I pray that he will speak to each one of us today, and that we would really obey his voice. So let's look at those 3 key points I mentioned. The first one, commendations from Jesus Christ. In Revelation 2, verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ identified himself in the following way. He said that he was the one sustaining the church leaders. Number 2, he said he was present within the 7 churches. And thirdly, he knew their deeds. Bearing in mind all our human weaknesses, it is encouraging for us to know that Jesus is in our midst, strengthening and guiding us and our leaders. However, we must recognize that nothing is hidden from him, and he will discipline us in love when necessary. Some Bible scholars have indicated that in Revelation 2:1, the phrase "walks among the 7 golden lampstands" implies that he was inspecting the condition of each church one by one. And I ask myself, and we should ask ourselves, what will Jesus find if he inspects our churches and fellowships one by one? What will he find when he inspects our church here closely? What will he find when he inspects you and I on an individual basis? What will he find in your heart? What will he find in my heart? I like the approach that our Lord Jesus Christ used in this letter. He started by mentioning the good things about the Ephesian church before pointing out the negative things. It is very easy for you and I to see the bad things in other people. I don't know if I'm making a proper generalization, but we tend to easily see the weakness of others rather than emphasizing first the good things in them. Well, let's learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are dealing with others in your relationships, always first commend people. Commend them for the good things in their lives. And then I am sure that they would like to listen to what else you want to tell them. The Lord Jesus Christ commended this church for 3 things. 1, they were hardworking. We can assume that they were busy inside and outside the church, that they worked hard in their fellowships, and they also worked hard in the public place. Christians have to be busy people. We need to be those who are hardworking. This is consistent with Ephesians 6, 7 to 8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. Serve wholeheartedly. Work hard for the Lord wherever he has placed you. Secondly, they faithfully defended the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is important, particularly today in our society, in the world we live in. We need to stand firm and defend the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Ephesians resisted evil men and identified the false apostles among them. Indeed, they took seriously the wise warning that Paul gave the leaders of the Ephesian church many, many years earlier. when he met the Ephesian leaders, Paul in Acts 20, 28 to 31 said the following words: "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." Paul already predicted that this was going to happen. The Holy Spirit inspired him to see this danger coming, and the Ephesian church took heed, and indeed they were commended for this by our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing is, they persevered and endured hardships for the sake of Christ's name. The members of this church remained faithful to Jesus despite the persecutions and difficulties they experienced. Now, we need to remember that Ephesus was a commercial and pagan religious center, and there must have been pressures on the Christians to conform to worldly standards. And I ask you and I today, are we not under the same pressures to conform to the standards of this world? I believe we are. I believe we are. In fact, if you look closely at what is happening in churches today, it is as if the world is coming inside the church. And we need to be focused. We need to do what Christ says. And Paul put this very, very nicely in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to renew our minds. We need to make sure that we conform to Christ and not to this world. Then, brothers and sisters in Christ, there could be other reasons why we need to persevere. Maybe you have been praying for God to help you solve a particular problem, but it seems that nothing is happening. Maybe you are sick and you have been trusting God for healing, but it seems that there is no progress. Maybe you have been praying for a loved one to come to Jesus, but he or she seems to be moving away from Jesus. Maybe you have been praying for God to repair your relationship with someone, but things appear to be getting worse. The list goes on and on. But whatever it is that you are waiting on God for, I urge you to persevere. Persevere. Persevere, my brothers and sisters. Let us continue to trust God to provide for us and to solve our problems just in his right time. And in this regard, I would like to remind you of a verse I love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we'll read the following words: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If The things I see around me discourage me. I must remember one thing, that I should focus on Jesus. I should fix my eyes on Jesus. I should believe that better things would come. As I tell my children, particularly one of them, who is going through a difficult time, I told her, I said, look, this is not the end. A new chapter is coming. You will open a new chapter. You know where you are today, but that is not the end of the story. It's not the last chapter of this book. No, it is not. It is just one of those chapters. There are many nice chapters still to be written for your life. You must believe that. I believe that in my life. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, let's continue to hold tightly to our Lord Jesus. May God grant each one of us the strength we need to persevere in the midst of all the persecutions and all the day-to-day problems that we face on our spiritual journey. Then let's look at complaint from Jesus Christ. The complaint from Jesus Christ. After commending the Ephesian church for the good things they had done, our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them because of one important weakness. In Revelation 2 verse 4, he said, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." Now, these letters were actually read to the church. You can imagine all the smiles in the room when all the commendations were being read. Oh, what a great church we have. What a great church. But they didn't know the line that was coming. What a great church. Oh, Christ is so happy with us. How marvelous. And then came the bombshell. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." The Ephesian church probably looked fine from the outside. They were busy carrying out their church activities, and everything looked impressive to the human observer. However, Christ could see everything going on in that church, and he detected a major weakness. Their activities and faithfulness lacked a vital ingredient: love. They had forsaken their first love. Are we like the Ephesian church in any way, as individuals and as a church? We may look fine on the outside. We may look fine to the outside world. We may look like dedicated Christians. But what does Jesus Christ see when he looks inside our hearts? When he turns his searchlight on us, what does he see? Will he come to the same conclusion as he did for the Ephesian church? "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." Remember also what Paul said about love in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll read just verses 1 to 3 very quickly. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I am nothing." God is interested not only in what we do, but also the real motive behind it. It is clear that whatever we do, it does not matter how great it is, If it is done without love, in God's eye, it is nothing. Let's remember that. The Ephesian Christians had forsaken their first love. During the early years of being Christians, they were probably full of enthusiasm and a genuine desire to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, with the passage of time, such dedication from the heart declined, and as it were, the fire in their belly grew dim. Their love for Jesus had grown cold. Their activities became just a routine. They were just going through the motions, and Jesus was no longer the center of their activities and the center of their lives. Let us imagine their situation when their love for Jesus Christ has grown cold. Let's just imagine possibilities. They were probably no longer keen to study God's word and pray daily. They were probably no longer happy to obey the word of God. They were probably no longer enthusiastic about sharing the gospel of Jesus with others. They probably no longer enjoyed having fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They went to church, yes, but they were not really excited to see their brothers and sisters, pray with them, and really praise God together. The excitement was gone. It was just a routine. They probably no longer cared deeply for one another and even their neighbors. They probably no longer serve God with joy in their hearts. They were busy doing things, but love was not there. Love was not there. Their hearts were no longer burning with passion for Jesus. What has gone wrong? Does it sound in any way like you or myself? How does your love for Jesus now compared with the love you had for Jesus during the first few years of your conversion? Is your love for Jesus warmer now, or is it growing cold? Incidentally, because we have the Holy Spirit in us as Christians, you will know when your love is growing cold. If you are being honest to Jesus, you will know, the Holy Spirit will tell you that your love is growing cold. So this morning I ask you, is the Holy Spirit telling you that you are in any way like the Ephesian church? That your love for Jesus is growing cold? It is my prayer that our love for Jesus will grow warmer and warmer and warmer day by day. And that the same will be true of us onwards and upwards for the glory of Jesus. Onwards and upwards for the glory of Jesus. The third and last key point is counsel from Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus had some important words of advice for the church in Ephesus. In Revelation 2:5, Jesus asked them to do three things: remember, repent, and return. Remember, repent, and return. Because Jesus loved the church in Ephesus so much, he did not give them up. He gave them a second chance. And he's treating us like that. He gives us the second chance. Now, he asked them to remember the height from where they had fallen. In other words, they were to look back on those early days when they were close to him and learn lessons from those days to apply to their present condition. Have you let God down in any way? If so, God is asking you to prayerfully examine the situation and learn lessons that would help you move forward. Secondly, Jesus wanted them to repent. Repenting involves truly turning away from sin and getting back on the right road. If we are prepared to repent, we can be sure that Christ will totally forgive us. Remember the encouragement in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thirdly, Jesus wanted them to take action by returning to what they did at first. This means that they needed to recapture their first love that they had lost. Well, you know the things you did for Jesus in the first few years of your conversion. The deep love in your heart for him, your dedication to reading your Bible and praying daily, your enthusiasm in putting into action what you learned from the Bible, your enthusiasm in sharing the gospel with others, your joy in sharing fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your joy in serving the Lord, and so on and so forth. You need to return to those good habits. I am sure that Jesus will give us all the help we need and all the time we need to achieve this as well. While Jesus is so loving and caring, he made it clear to the Ephesians that failure to repent will lead to serious consequences. If they fail to repent, Jesus will remove their lampstand from their place, which meant that their church will cease to exist in Ephesus. A church that lacked love is really of no use to Jesus. I say that again. A church that lacks love is really of no use to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as a fellowship, is there something the Lord is asking us to repent of? As individuals, have we been disobeying Jesus in a particular area of our lives? If so, let us remember Christ loves us dearly. Let us remember those three words that he mentioned. The same three words apply to us today. Remember, repent, and return. Now, after reflecting on this letter to the church in Ephesians, I could not resist the temptation to apply it to marital lives. I just couldn't. Those of us who are married, I want to ask us a very important question. Is your love growing cold for your spouse? Let's cast our minds back to those early days of our marriage, when our hearts burnt with passion and love, when we did so many things for each other. We went to all those nice restaurants in town. We went to those movies together. We spent a lot of time together. We drank so many cups of coffee together. So many cups of tea together. I ironed clothes. I helped my wife. She's here. She's smiling. I was writing poems. Can you believe it? I wrote poems for my wife. I wrote songs for my wife. I played songs for my wife. But the songs have dried up. The poems have all dried up. I need to go to those days I didn't actually struggle to write the poems. They just came. I would sit there and the poems just came. So what has gone wrong? I asked myself. I want to assure her that the poems will come. The poems will come. And the other thing is that, are you spending time together? Are you doing things together? One of our children has been really working hard to help us do things together. So she gave us a Christmas present. What was it? She gave us, she paid for us to go to Harrogate, to Betty's cooking school, for us to learn to cook street food, Indonesian street food, or anyway, Far Eastern street food. And we went. This was a year or so ago. But we didn't do anything with it. So our daughter visited us and said, come on, I want to see this food that, you know, you learn to cook. And yeah, the two of us worked together. It was fun. And we cooked this nice food. Really, and it was quite nice. And then the second thing she did was we found that she was preparing smoothies for us. So she would just show up with these nice tasting glasses of smoothies every day. And then when she left, she said, over to you now. And I want to tell you that I now have something like 6 different recipes of smoothies that I have prepared myself. And this morning, before we left home, I made sure that my wife got a nice glass of special smoothies prepared by myself. We need to get back to those old days. We really do, those of us who are married. So I will challenge those who are married, please get together again. Ask yourself, what can you do to improve your marriage? Just discuss. Yeah, remember those old days? Bring back those things. Some of those things are still relevant today, and even new things. So I really urge you to do that. And in conclusion, we have considered the topic, is your love growing cold? It's a personal question. You are the only one who can answer it. I can answer it for myself. But is your love for Jesus Christ growing cold? It is a very serious question. And I would really, really pray that you would find an answer to it. Remember what three key points: commendations from Jesus, complaint from Jesus Christ, counsel from Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that you and I would rekindle our love for Jesus. In fact, he's going to help us do it. If you want him to do it, he will help us do it. We need to be willing. Let's come to him. Let's confess to him where we are, that we need his help to rekindle our love for him. And I believe that he will help us do that. And remember, those who are married, remember to do something to bring back those good old days. Good old days. They are still relevant. And I believe God will help us when we are closer to each other. Remember that our marriage is supposed to reflect the love between Christ and the church. Always bear that in mind. So if things are not going very right, let's remember that. Let's not let Jesus Christ down. And so I ask you today, if there's anything that you need to confess to Jesus, please rededicate your life to him. But if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to consider him today. The song we sang said, I receive your love. That is the starting point. We need to receive the love of Jesus. If you have never done that, today is another opportunity. And I pray that God would help you take that step of faith. So, is your love growing cold? I pray that your love will actually grow warm, warmer and warmer and warmer every single day. May God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you have been doing for us. Thank you for laying down your life for us on the cross. Thank you that through you, we have been made whole. Lord, I pray that you help each one of us here to examine our hearts, to really know where, what kind of stage we are in our relationship with you, and help us to really take necessary action to come closer to you. And so, our Heavenly Father, we pray as we go our different ways that you bless each and every one of us. Grant us that strength we need to persevere in all areas of our challenges. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to be light for this world, to be salt of the earth as you want us to. And let your name be honored and glorified in our lives. Have your own way, Lord, in all areas of our lives. For we ask all this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.